Hey, folks, what would you do this summer with all the money you'd save if you didn't have a car payment for the next 5 months? Hopefully, buy lots of merchandise for the Mike Church Trading Post. Well, right now at Bulldog Kia in Athens, Georgia, take advantage of the Summer's on Us sales event with zero payments for 5 months. Plus, get 0% financing for up to 66 months on the one-of-a-kind Kia Soul, or the high-tech Kia Forte, or the newly redesigned Kia Optima. Bulldog Kia is where Mrs. Church and I have purchased our vehicle since 2011. They're great friends, and they'll treat you right, too. And for Mike Church Show listeners anywhere in the continental U.S., they will ship your new Kia to you for free. Don't cost nothing. That means your new Kia is only a click or call away. For details, call them at 855-BULLDOG or go to bulldogkia.com. We'll see you at Bulldog Kia.
The research department of the Mike Church Show has learned that most people listen to this show because you want your truth neat, straight up, and never watered down.
Hey, look, mister. We save hard drinks in here for men who want to get drunk fast, and we don't need any characters around to give the joint atmosphere. Is that clear?
And the best part about taking in 100-proof truth is you can drive at the same time. And you'll never get a hangover.
I'm so wasted!
The bar at the Mike Church Show opens every weekday morning at 8 a.m. exclusively on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.
After Nicholas, it is time for Patrick Henry to make his debut.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman. I consider myself a servant of the people of this Commonwealth, as a sentinel over their rights, liberty, and happiness. I represent their feelings when I say that they are very uneasy at being brought from that state of full security, which they enjoyed, to the present misleading appearance of things. A year ago, the minds of our citizens were at perfect rest. Before the meeting of the late Federal Convention at Philadelphia, a general peace and a universal tranquility prevailed in this country.
Notice that Henry refers to Virginia as a country, and unlike the Philadelphia Convention, there will be no challenges to this.
If our situation be thus uneasy, from what place has arisen this fearful jeopardy? It arises from this fatal system. It arises from a proposal to change our government. And here I would make this inquiry of those worthy characters who composed a part of the late Federal Convention. Sir, give me leave to demand. What right had they to say, we the people? Who authorized them to speak the language of we the people instead of we the states? States are the characteristics and the soul of a confederation. If the states be not the agents of this compact, it must be one great consolidated national government of the people of all the states.
Peering 200 years into the future, Henry predicts what Washington, D.C. ultimately becomes and at what price.
Besides the expenses of maintaining the Senate and other house in as much splendor as they please, there is to be a great and mighty president with very extensive powers, the powers of a king. He is to be supported in extravagant magnificence so that the whole of our property may be taken by this American government by laying what taxes they please, giving themselves what salaries they please, and suspending our laws at their pleasure. I might be thought too inquisitive, but I believe I should take up very little of your time in enumerating the little power that is left to the government of Virginia. For this power is reduced to little or nothing. Their garrisons, magazines, arsenals, and forts, which will be situated in the strongest places within the states. Their 10-mile square, with all the fine ornaments of human life added to their powers and taken from the states, will reduce the power of the latter to nothing. Sir, when I asked that question, I thought the meaning of my interrogation was obvious. The fate of this question and of America may depend on this. Have they said, we the states? Have they made a proposal of a compact between states? If they had, this would be a confederation. It is otherwise, most clearly, a consolidated government. Here is a resolution that is as radical as that which separated us from Great Britain. It is radical in this transition. Our rights and privileges are endangered, and the sovereignty of the states will be relinquished. And cannot we plainly see that this is actually the case? The rights of conscience, trial by jury, liberty of the press, all your immunities and franchises, all pretensions to human rights and privileges are rendered insecure, if not lost, by this change, so loudly talked by some and so inconsiderately by others. Is this tame relinquishment of rights worthy of free men? Is it worthy of that manly fortitude that ought to characterize Republicans? It is said 8 states have adopted this plan. I declare that if 12 states and a half had adopted it, I would, with manly firmness and in spite of an erring world, reject it.
Call the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade Channel now. It's as close to a free lunch as you can get.
Grab a brew. Don't cost nothing.
Call 844-5-CRUSADE. When you want to talk, the bar's always open. And a truth-vending bartender in on the Crusade Channel.
Welcome back. It's the Mike Church Show here on our pre-Independence Day extravaganza. Show is live here, as it is every weekday from 8 to 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. But if you miss any part of this program, you can always download it if you're a Founders Pass member at VeritasRadioNetwork.com. And of course, at my website at MikeChurch.com. You know, at MikeChurch.com, we post transcripts from the program, 2 transcripts per day here. So if you want to get the written form of any monologue, there's a very good chance that there is a transcript that was made for it. So I just thought I would mention that. And while you're at MikeChurch.com, why not blouse on over to MikeChurch.com/shop, find out what today's flash sale is, and and do a little shopping in the Founders Trading Post. By the way, we will give a copy of Humility of Heart, the greatest book ever written on the subject of humility. We'll give one away between now and the end of the broadcast for the next caller who has never called this network, this show, before at 844-527-8723. I want to get back to the conversation that we were having about hashtag exit. Hey, that's one of the great T-shirts. Have you gotten your exit T-shirt in the Founders Trading Post yet? Sizes medium all the way through 4X, Fat Bastard. They're in exit. Stage right, they say, with the R being the little R, Republican R. I get one today. It's going to look great on you, I promise you. That sounded very Trumpian, didn't it? I was reading this essay by James Day, The Vanishing United States, and I had stopped at a point because Day was making the case that we've got to bring America back. We've got to bring the United States back. We have to bring patriotism for United States as individual states back. Well, while I concur with that, why does it just have to be concentrated and focused on current political entities? Current gatherings, if you will, of people who have organized themselves into the sovereign entities called states. You know, it really is. I think it's one of the poorly understood and hidden from the public, and it's hiding in plain sight. Discussions or topics, rather, that Americans in 2016 could have, and that is, what is a state? And why do we need to know, and why do we have to have them? And a state, of course, very simply put, is a group of people that have congregated together for like cause, have organized themselves into some form of a legal body, and are going to, what is sovereignty? John Taylor, Caroline County, described sovereignty as a will to enact and a power to enforce. That's sovereignty. In the book, John Taylor, Caroline County, America's Statesman. Again, MikeChurch.com/shop. Great paperback. Book about the brains of the operation, as Kevin Gutzman called him. A will to enact and a power to enforce. That constitutes the concept of sovereignty, right? A will to enact, power to enforce. Well, that's a state. It doesn't matter what the size of it is. Size is irrelevant. As we've talked about over and over and over on this show, when we talk about human scale. So any political entity could be a state. You know, the state of Liechtenstein is tiny. How many of you have ever been outside of the country, outside of America, and been to Monaco, for example? Well, Monaco is not some sprawling metropolis. Monaco is a dot on a map. That's a state. How many of you have been to the Near East and have been to the city, one of the largest in the world, is Singapore? That's a state. It's no larger than Manhattan, but it's a state. As a matter of fact, we could use Manhattan as an example of a state. Wait, why isn't Manhattan a state? It ought to be. Why isn't Brooklyn a state or a republic? It ought to be. And they're not, folks, because we have lost scholastic thinking skills. We are no longer able, because we're not taught to, think logically about these things. And to think properly using logic about these things. And if we were, then I believe it would be a foregone conclusion, we wouldn't be in the American Union anymore. Which is why my campaign and David Simpson's campaign and Brother Andre Marie's campaign to get Philosophia Perennis instruction into every gentleman out there, Catholic, Christian, or otherwise, that wishes to humiliate themselves, admit that we're imbeciles. Note I said we, that we're imbeciles, and we don't know anything. We think we know things, we don't. And even after we learn how to think scholastically, we still don't know everything, but we know how to know things correctly and how to process the information. Because all information is actually just knowledge. If we had the knowledge of what a state actually is, then we would be busy right now forming new ones and telling the current American state to go pound sand. You're fired. Pulling some Trump on Trump. 844-527-8723 is our telephone number. So back to the essay under the style of the vanishing United States. These codes may not come by the will of politics, the country's de facto secular religion. And they may, he's talking about the codes, essentially, I should read the paragraph before. Do we still believe in men holding doors for women, asked Mr. Day. No, we don't. In prayers before meals. Well, yeah, kind of, but nothing official like, bless these, oh Lord, and these I get. Oh, I don't want to hear you official one. You got that from a pope. Should have played the warning siren. In closed shops on Sundays. Folks, I got to tell you, I've been working on this, and I'm about halfway home, but I've got to rearrange my life and things that I do so that I can drop old bad habits and stop shopping at stores on Sundays and stop
going to restaurants. It's hard. I'm not there yet. I will publicly confess I exhorted you people to do it. I'm not there yet myself. Working on it, trying to remind myself every Saturday, hey, what are we going to need for tomorrow that I am not going to a store to get? In flags flying instead of burning. No, I'll fly the Carillon de Sacre Corps, Mr. Day, but I'm not flying the American flag. I'll fly the Louisiana flag. You know what I'll fly? I'll fly the Star of the Florida Parishes, which existed for about 6 months in 1812. Florida Parishes, I'm in a Florida parish right now. That flag is a simple blue field with a white star in the middle of it. You people in Texas know it as the Texas Independence flag or the Texas Come and Get Them or Come and Get Them cannonball flag. Back to the narrative. In a unified society of elegant decorum, of people driven with purpose and direction for the betterment of the whole rather than ego and greed. No, we don't believe in any of those things. Joined together by common principles. Okay, name a common principle. Oh, we all love Olive Garden bottomless breadsticks. Yay, what a great common principle. Yeah, we're organized around that one. Thank you very much. Civil towards differences, but without the animosity, hatred, and vitriol too prevalent in today's American streets? Question mark. Essentially, are we willing to reclaim a sense of the lives, a sense of mission in the lives of citizen and country as one divisible nation under God? Again, he asked, what is it with you people that write at Crisis Magazine? Why do you always have to go neocon, American exceptionalist? Why can't the ultimate purpose be, darn it, heaven? That's the ultimate purpose. If you have a society of men and women that are all focused on eternity and trying to get to heaven, it's going to be a pretty good society. That society is not going to be murdering babies. It's not going to have transgendered people roaming the streets in search of sex. It's not going to have perverts hanging out in bathrooms of the sect of which they are not they don't belong to. It's not going to have a jail filled with rapists. It's not going to have bombs dropping on brown people in the Middle East who are non-combatants. Even people that claim, these people claim some sort of Catholic teaching or some sort of Catholic force behind their teaching at Crisis Magazine. And again, that's why I stopped going there, because every time I read one of these essays from them, they got to go neocon. Ooh, one nation under God. Why does it have to be one? Says who? Especially one that is just as repulsive as this one has been. My heavens. All right, I'm done with Day because he's just going to make me angry. Let's go over here. By the way, earn a copy of Humility of Heart, the book that is written by Padre Gaetano de Maria Bergamo in 1738. Published and digitized and modernized and all the footnotes corrected and checked by Founding Father Films Publishing, with the missing 58 pages added to the book for the first time ever published in England, in English. No one ever translated the entire work for Padre Gaetano, but it's been praised by popes. Pope Pius X had a copy. It had been praised by many prelates, many priests. People have recommended the book. I recommend the book. It's the greatest treatise. It's the greatest thing that you'll read, or one of the greatest things. When you say, what about the Bible? Okay, all right. Didn't mean to step on a toe. But Humility of Heart is a great book, and it will help you regain a sense of humility, because a father will not hold any punches, and he'll say, we're all puffed up on pride, and we don't even recognize being puffed up on pride. So get a free copy by being today's virgin maiden, never called this show before, at 844-527-8723. I've laid out a veritable smorgasbord of material that you could call about here just in this segment. 844-527-8723 is our telephone number. If you'd like to take me up on the offer and get the free book, 844-5-CRUSADE. Wait a minute. Got a couple of pieces here. staying on the subject of Brexit and exit. The British vote to leave the American Union may just be the biggest shock to English bureaucratic government since the American Revolution. After the Black Plague destroyed the medieval order, Europe began its 15th-century consolidation with English Henry's the Seventh's War of Roses, Ferdinand and Isabella's Spain, Ivan's Russia, and Louis's France, followed by the larger dreams of Napoleonic, colonial, Soviet, and Reich empires. Centralization has marched through Europe for the last 600 years. It has now suffered its most resounding defeat. Good! It needs to suffer defeats. There have been previous dissents. The Scottish almost voted for separation in 2014. Catalans, Basques, Flemish, North Italians, and new right parties across the continent today demand autonomy or separation. Norway and Sweden did, in fact, divide in 1905, as did the Czech Republic and Slovakia in 1993. Yet with success in Brexit, the world's fifth largest economy changes everything. It will be followed by many others, and not only in Europe. Is America next? A comparison with the U.S. is inevitable. The Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders phenomena shake the same assumptions. Still, establishmentarian Hillary Clinton will presumably prevail in the end, and America's expert bureaucracy will certainly survive and flourish under her tenure. Mr. Devine, you're wrong. Mrs. Clinton is not going to be elected. Donald Trump is going to become president. He's going to win in a 48-state to 2-state landslide. It's not even going to be close. As a matter of fact, it's going to be so embarrassing for the Clintons. Hopefully, they will go away forevermore, never to be heard of, unless there is a conversion in the family, and we see them at Holy Mass. And yet, there is a Brussels aroma arising from America's expert bureaucracy. The official U.S. Government Accountability Office recently surveyed the work evaluation documents of 1.2 million federal employees and found that 99.6% were rated. We covered this story, fully successful. David Cox Sr., president of the largest federal government union, the American Federation of Government Employees, explained how this remarkable performance was achieved. Quote, could it be that the careful scrutiny and open competition among applicants for federal jobs produces a workforce of highly skilled, responsible, productive employees, he asked the Washington Post. No, Mr. Duggan, it can't be. Oh, no, Mr. Cox, it can't be. Even with the best people, U.S. agencies concede there are problems. Blah, 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 blah. Better legislative and presidential oversight of bureaucratic actions may help, but there simply is no integrity in the bureaucratic performance appraisal system and no incentive to change it, which is why it has to be left. Still, with all those great bureaucrats, what could go wrong? Only the people. The polls show that a majority of Americans think pretty much like the Brits. The Pew Research Center found in 2015 that 22% in the United States say they are angry at the federal government, 57% are frustrated, and only 18% say they are basically content. Just 42% of Democrats and 30% of Republicans say the government does a good job of lifting people out of poverty. Well, that's not the government's job to lift people out of poverty. On the other hand, Americans like their state, local, and state governments. Gallup shows 62% trust in state government and 72% in local government today, and has repeatedly found higher levels of support for lower levels of government since it began measuring them in 1972. This is precisely the message that we keep hammering here on the Crusade Channel. And look, people know it. They know it. They trust their mayors. They trust their councilmen. They trust their aldermen. They trust their local judges more than they trust anyone 4,000 leagues away. It only makes common sense. Why then, if you trust your legislature locally and you pass a law locally, think about this. If you actually do exercise sovereignty and you exercise legitimate authority in a little R Republican sense of the word, and you pass a law locally, say, I don't know, maybe to outlaw abortion clinics. You're perfectly free to do so. What happens when a federal judiciary comes and says, yeah, you can't do that? You violated law. You violated the federal law. You violated. What if when you're told you violated the Constitution? You violated the rights of people living under the Constitution. We're abrogating your law. Really? You just heard that that three-quarters of people trust their local government. All right. Well, how come three-quarters of people aren't governed by their local government? 844-527-8723 is our telephone number. On Monday, folks, we are going to have a very special day here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network, radio the way it should be, and Independence Day the way it should be. We're going to air all day long in a marathon fashion my my movies, audio movies, The Road to Independence and Pages of Independence. One tells the story of the Declaration of Independence and how it came to be. It first aired in 2007. And one solves the mystery of where the original copy Thomas Jefferson penned of the Declaration of Independence, the copy that Jefferson said is the original, where is it? Is it still out there? Can we prove that that is Jefferson's copy that he wanted us to acknowledge as the original? Yes, we can. Well, here is a preview clip of Pages of Independence here. And this is just a smattering of what you're going to hear on Monday.
6th July, 1776, sir.
Wait a minute, that's the one that Kresnes played earlier. Christopher, I wanted another one. Thought we had...
I said segment two.
Okay, I see segment two. Got it. Here. My bad. Here we go. Here is clip.
Let me introduce you to the co-star of this act, Professor Wilfred Ritz of Washington and Lee University. Ritz graduated law school in 1950 and then earned his doctorate at Harvard in 1961. He taught law, history, and bibliography at Washington and Lee until 1985. In the last few years of his life, Ritz worked on a rebuttal to the Bicentennial Commission's report on the whereabouts of the original draft of the Declaration. And in so doing, Wilfred Ritz got me interested in telling his one-of-a-kind, amazing story about how the Declaration went from handwritten, rambling draft to edited, concise brilliance. Or, as Professor Ritz describes it,
I expect to present a context for the development of the Declaration in Congress quite different from the one traditionally used. Now, the common sense approach would have been to send a copy of the handwritten report to a printer and have sufficient copies run off so that each member could have a copy with a few extra copies laying around that may be used as needed. Now, the need for secrecy would require careful accounting for each of these printed copies of the handwritten draft. Now, if Congress did not put Jefferson's rough draft into print, the members could only be called dunderheads. But because they were not dunderheads, but rather were in the habit of employing a printer, it is highly probable that Congress had Jefferson's rough draft printed and copies distributed to the members before considering it.
So what's the big deal about that? Jefferson writes the Declaration just like John Adams said. The printer prints the Declaration. There's a war. We win. They hang the Declaration up in a museum. Nicolas Cage steals it to keep it from the treasure hunters, and we all live happily ever after. Can I go back to watching American Horror Story now?
Well, I'll tell you what the big deal is. Ritz is the first person since Pickering and Adams to question the story you just regurgitated.
Yeah?
Yeah. A story that, for the most part, is not completely true. And if this story we're about to unfold is true, then we can move on to solving the biggest Declaration of Independence mystery ever.
What's that? The one about the lemon juice in the blow dryer?
No. The one that tells us where the Jefferson original Declaration is.
But folks, it wouldn't be complete without... And that's a really good, Christopher, good job on a clip. That's a really good clip. That does set up what's about to happen. And the story is just, it's a fantastic story. That is not to upstage, if you will, the following that you will hear in between clips of the, now you'll hear the Road to Independence, the audio edition, and then a half an hour of bonus features that we'll put in. And in between the bonus features, you'll hear a countdown to the encore playing of Pages of Independence. When Pages of Independence is done playing, you'll hear a countdown to the Road to Independence coming up next by minutes. These are the clips that we put together here. Folks, you may remember these from 2007. This is what it sounded like 9 years ago on the 4th of July when we took over the SiriusXM Patriot Channel.
Happy Independence Day to the Red, White, and Blue Nation. D-minus 15 minutes.
So those were the countdown clips. That's Reagan's. And here is little Madison, 8-year-old Madison Church's attempt.
The rebroadcast of Mike Church's Road to Independence begins in just D-minus 10 minutes.
And by the way, this music, folks, we have just been so blessed here with the talents and skills of Jim Mosier, and formerly Jim Mosier and Alan Grossman. This song that you're hearing, the Ramblin' Song, as they call it, this is an original creation. You know, we own the rights to all the music from all the documentaries that Jim and Alan put together all the music for, but it's all original composition. That song, that Ramblin' Song, that was put together in 2007 for the Road to Independence. It still sounds great today. So that's just a little preview, a little taste of what it is that you're going to hear on Independence Day. I hope that you'll tune in the Crusade Channel. You people that have Grace Digital Mondo radios, tune it in, rip the knob off, and leave it on all day. For extra credit, why not call the Founders Trading Post right now? Call 866-483-3833. And say, Maggie O'Connell, I want to order a DVD-CD combo of the Road to Independence, or a DVD, or why not get both, Spirit of 76 and Road to Independence DVD-CD combo. Wait a minute. Why don't just get a Founding Father Films complete and get six CD and DVD sets? You got an entire day's worth of listening and watching and both the features that I just mentioned here. But you could call 866-483-3833 and ask for expedited shipping right now. We'll get it out to you next day. You'll have it tomorrow. Bammo. You 4th of July entertainment settle. You have to hire a band. You got a built-in band. But we will. The marathon begins at midnight. You guys that are truckers or shift workers, at midnight, July the 4th at 12:01 a.m., we'll start the rotation. I hope you will listen. I hope you will tell friends and family to listen. And I hope that you like the story of Pages of Independence. And by the way, if you're a Founders Pass, we're going to start a promotion next month for Founders Pass Founding Brother members. I'm not going to tell you about it now, but if you're a Founding Brother, you're going to want to become one because you will be able to download free of charge as part of your Founding Brother or Founding Father or Crusader membership. You'll be able to download the Pages of Independence special as an MP3. Anyone else will have to pay for it or buy it. You will be able to download it as part of your membership. Let's go to the phones. This is Bob in Pennsylvania. Bob, you're next up here on the Mike Church Show on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. How you doing?
Good. Recently, I drive trucks, so I don't really get an opportunity to watch much TV or anything else like that. News, I try to avoid it anymore. But, you know, recently I was I looked up the Declaration of Independence on YouTube audio, mm-hmm. just so I could listen to it, because I've never actually read it. And, man, a lot of the stuff that I heard sounds a lot like what's going on now, like their grievances.
Right.
And I had my kids listen to it. I called my wife. I said, put it on TV and play it. So I want them all to hear this. This is what I'm griping about all the time. And I think it was several years back I bought the Spirit of 76 video for the kids.
Okay.
And they loved it. You know, from the old country, the old station.
Yeah, they...
Happy I found you guys.
Well, the Spirit of 76 is about writing and ratifying of the U.S. Constitution. The Road to Independence is about the Declaration of Independence.
Right. And I haven't seen them because I'm on the road all the time, but, you know, the kids have seen them. I'm thinking about buying the other one also now.
Which one is that?
So it's like, I think it's the Road of Independence I believe we need to get.
Oh, yeah, you need to get it. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Now... Go ahead, Bob.
I agreed with what you said earlier about how, you know, the federal government shot down Texas's law. Well, how do they have any, I mean, what's that got to do with, how does the federal government have anything to do with the state's rights? You know, if you don't like what the state put into place, you vote those people out, or you move out of the state, go somewhere else.
Well, So the old vote with your feet, but the problem is that no matter where you move to, a federal judge or a judge is, or the Supreme Court is going to strike down your law. There is no
right.
There is no local rule. There is no home rule anymore. That's the point.
Right. That's, I think, the federal government is trying to get us used to overrule by the feds next to be global, you know, trying to push it upon... Get us used to being ruled by a bigger group,
right?
As opposed to your local county, state. You have, you know, there's no state's rights anymore. Everything's federal.
Well, not only are there no state's rights, there's very little local rights. No local yokel town is going to pass an ordinance about abortion clinics or abortuaries. Or about behavior in public schools, about dress or bathrooms in public schools, because a federal judiciary, a member of the federal judiciary, is going to invalidate it. It's a waste. It's sadly, I mean, we should do it just for the exercise of practicing republicanism, but so they're going to invalidate it. To anyone that said, yes, it does. Yes, it does. We're being force-fed this gender ideology. Just imagine this. There is now gender theology. Gender theology, male, female, pretty simple. No, it's not that simple. Yes, it is. Because you have a warped sense of because your view of reality is not reality at all and is warped. You wish everyone to live and to admit what your view is the correct view. Well, it's not. You know, but we don't even have leaders that have the temerity to tell those that are in error, no, we're not going to force feed people your way of thinking or what you think about gender or sex or sexuality or a family or whatever. We don't even have leaders that have the temerity to say that anymore, Bob.
Right. Well, I also agree with something you used to say. I'm sure you still say it. We're out of scale. How do we have a representative for, 780,000 people for one representative in Congress?
We are more out of scale than the people of any of any political entity in the history of scale. There's never been a government more out of scale than this one.
Right.
Well, a member of Congress allegedly represents, the House of Representatives is divided up into members that allegedly represent 780,000 citizens. How can one man represent 780,000? I'll give you one that's even worse. How can eight men and women on a court prepared to represent and then force-feed moral views to 320 million.
Right.
I mean, we all say right to this, but yet we're going to go to Olive Garden tonight and eat a bottomless salad and breadsticks and go head out to Regal Cinema as if nothing is nothing to see here. Citizen, move along. You know, the time has come to actually do something about it.
Right, and that's the same thing I keep saying to my wife is, like, too many people are worried about who's playing tonight on what sporting event.
Right.
And they're distracted, kind of like what the Romans did back when the games were. They couldn't stand the Senate, so they put the games out to distract the masses.
Well, I was reading something the 2 days ago about how so Chesterton wrote about the end of the Roman Empire, at the last days of the Roman Empire. And the guy that was writing, I wish I could remember where I have it. I don't think I printed it out. He was making the comparison to listen to how Chesterton was describing the end of the Romans and the paganism, the throes of paganism that they were going through, and compare that to America in 2016. I don't think, as a matter of fact, if I didn't say to you that I was talking about Rome and I read from that, you would say, hey, you're talking about New York.
Right. History repeats itself.
Well, it always does, and has a nagging tendency to do so. And if it does, one of the other things that's going to repeat itself then is that martyrdom is right around the corner. And people that don't think that it is, well, you're not paying attention. Hey, Bob, I appreciate the call, and I hope that you get the movie.
I will.
Thank you very
much.
Well,
you have a great day.
Yeah, you too, brother. Thank you very much. 844-527-8723. Let me give you an example. Is it a good example to say, if I were to say, hey, guess what, audience? Man, you're not going to believe this. This is awesome. Miss America, the new Miss America, is a bona fide slut. I mean, she is ham-diggity-digging. All the boys in the locker room, and she's proud of it, and she is Ms. America. As a matter of fact, she was asked by one of the judges, hey, what are those marks? What are those notches on that belt that you have around that dress? Whoa, I'm glad you asked, Judge. Here's one notch for each boy that I've shagged. And the judge may go, oh, well, that's not much. Hey, wait. There's one notch for each boy that I shagged this week. Gotcha, didn't I? If I were to tell you that, would you think that that would be an appropriate thing to announce to the rest of the world? Would you be proud of that? That Miss Marco is the most accomplished tramp slut we could find. Most people right now are going like, Mr. Church, please. No, that's a stupid question, and everybody knows the answer to it. The miniature, the answer in no. Okay, well, unfortunately, everyone does not know the answer to it. Thus, the following headline. First gay Miss America contestant wants to be role model. Claims that beauty queens are underrepresented in the LGBT. Hey, Vanity Fair, you forgot the Q community. Erin O'Flaherty was crowned Miss Missouri on June the 18th. Now, I got to ask, what is wrong with you people in Missouri? Erin O'Flaherty was crowned Miss Missouri on January 18th, a win that makes her the first lesbian to compete for the Miss America crown. Last week, Cosmopolitan magazine posted an interview with the beauty queen, which was mostly focused on her sexual orientation and its role in her life and in the competition. Now, tell me, what is the difference between being obsessed with the lesbian liaisons of Miss Missouri and being obsessed with the male liaisons of Miss Slut USA that I was describing earlier. Huh? This is what I was talking about earlier. We have divorced. I mean, this is mind-numbing. You want to talk about people just walking around in a fog? No one would name, nominate, or be proud of, although the day is coming when maybe they will, Miss Slut USA. Ain't gonna happen today. Maybe tomorrow, but not today. Well, why is Miss Homosexual Slut USA? Why is that okay? You know why? Because we're Americans. We're Western civilized idiots. We're apostates, for heaven's sake. We know what the truth is. What's an apostate? An apostate denies the existence of God. I shouldn't say apostates because most people in this country don't acknowledge the existence of God these days. Yeah, there may be some deity. Nah, I don't have to go to confession. I don't have to sacrifice anything, okay? I said one time, I want to be saved, and it's over. That's it. And somebody, I was standing near somebody that, I didn't actually say it, but I was in the same room when somebody said it, and I bought a puppy. Oh, that's good enough. That's fantastic. You get to go. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to present you a novel statement that shouldn't be novel at all. If you know a homosexual and you acknowledge them, heaven forfend you should allow them around your children and let them tell stories of their sexual acts and liaisons, you are, by definition, okay? By relational definition, this is a reality. You are acknowledging the sex act, but at the same time, you're not acknowledging the sex act. Because, look, the natural order, man, woman, married, babies, right? Natural order. That's the way God created it. I'm not breaking any news here. This is not a news flash. Male, female, married, babies. Got it? That's the natural order. It sinks into the brain. The intellect knows it. When the human intellect hears the truth, it knows it. It loves the truth. You know why? Because the truth created us. The truth created our soul. So we know. When you hear the truth, you go, oh, Daddy's talking. That's Daddy. Unless, of course, you've got one of these little guys on your shoulder who's sitting there going like, that's not Daddy. I'm your Daddy. Call me Lucifer. You know, you got Beetlejuice sitting on your shoulder. Well, that's your daddy. I'm your daddy. You want to see your daddy? I'm your daddy. Let me get in here. Put me very near the hemline on your dress, and I'll show you daddy. Now, folks, when you say, present company included, when you say that you have an auntie or a best friend that knows someone that has in-law or other familial relationship, knows a homosexual that prances and prattles about as a homosexual, this is an unnatural act, regardless of whether they're males or females. Read Romans 1 or Romans 6 and 7. You want an eye-opener about unnatural acts? If you need a refresher course, read St. Paul, Romans 1, Romans 6 and 7. He'll fill you in. When you hear unnatural act, we have been chastised since the Garden of Eden to not engage in them, to not encourage anyone else to engage in them. They are mortally sinful. When you say that, our new Miss Missouri is a lesbian because she, therefore, is distinguished by natural man, woman, get together, She is, therefore, distinguished by what? What is the distinguishing feature? The sodomy. The sex act. You can't separate the two. Otherwise, they're not homosexuals. Don't you get it?
This is why people say, what's your big hang-up about gay? You know, they're not harming anyone. Yes, they are. They are harming your devotion to. They are harming the truth that there is a natural order. They are causing doubt that God created a natural order. They most certainly are harming. Now, this is not to say that they need to be stoned or killed or anything of the sort. They need to be loved. They need our prayers. They need our compassion. And most of all, they need conversion. As all of us do as well. No one in public will tell you what I just said because they'll only say it once and then they're gone. They're gone. You fired. Goodbye. Bring Donald Trump in. You're fired. You're fired. And yet, what I just told you is the truth. And that is the charitable thing to do. You always must counsel against sin. You have to, folks. We don't have a choice. We're commanded to. We're commanded to. And like David Simpson was saying last night in our little conversation about this with Brother Andre and Marie, I mean, there are tactful ways to do it. You know, you don't want to scandalize someone if you can avoid it. You want to try to do it privately. But, folks, they're not doing these things privately. They're doing them publicly. That's the point. They are putting your and my children at grave risk of thinking that this is some kind of a dogma, that unnatural behavior like this is dogmatic and it's okay. It can never be okay. That's why it's unnatural. It is out of order. Why is this so hard to understand? We don't mean harm to people that find themselves that have a mental disorder that causes the attraction to another sex. Again, just like God did, Jesus teaches us to love the leper, we love the homosexuals. Don't I just say that as lip service? Seriously, figuratively. But you cannot and you must not love the act no more than you will love the act, dads, I'm talking to you, than you will love the act of knowing that your daughter is the town slut. You don't love that. You're not going to love it. You're not going to tattoo it on your forehead. You're not going to put a bumper sticker. Ooh, my daughter is. What would the acronym for that be? Not LGBTQ. I don't know. S-L-U-T. But we don't think. We've been conditioned to not think about these things. 844-527-8723 is our telephone number. If you would like to be the next caller here on the program, call me, 844-5-CRUSADE. Folks, what are you going to do with all that money you're going to save at Bulldog Kia in Athens, Georgia, when you go and purchase your new Kia from our number one and many, many years long sponsor? I am in the Bulldog Kia Studio D right now. Well, what are you going to do with all that money? Hey, how about going to Mike Church's trading, MikeChurch.com/shop, and stocking up on Independence Day Patriot movies? How about stocking up on El Rey Du Corona cigars, Humility of Heart books, Life of Washington books? Huh? Lots of stuff there. Well, right now, at Bulldog Kia in Athens, Georgia, take advantage of the Summer's On Us sales event with zero payments for 5 months, plus get 0% financing for up to 66 months on the one-of-a-kind Kia Soul or the high-tech Kia Forte or the newly redesigned Kia Optima. Bulldog Kia, look, this is where Mrs. Church and I get our vehicles from. I drive a beautiful 2012 Kia Sorento. And I love my Sorento. Kids love driving in my Sorento. You're going to love yours, too. Now, Bulldog Kia will also offer to you, because you're a Mike Church Show listener, free delivery. That's right. Free delivery of your new Kia anywhere in the continental U.S. That's what they call their VIP delivery service. Because you're a Mike Church Show Crusade Channel listener, you're a VIP. Your new Kia is just a click or call away. And you get 0% financing for up to 66 months. For details, go to bulldogkia.com
bulldogkia.com. That's bulldogkia.com. Or call 855-BULLDOG. We'll see you at Bulldog Kia. All right, 844-527-8723 is our telephone number. If you'd like to be on the program in the final segment of the show, we'd love to talk to you. Remember, you'll score a free Humility of Heart paperback autographed by yours truly if you are our first or our next virgin caller this segment. This is the Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. Radio the way it should be.